The new KNZR stickers are here. Get one and stick it. It could make you a winner. The Terry Maxwell Show. He's here to remind you it isn't a spectator sport anymore. You must get into the game.
Okay, everybody, we are back. It is a Wednesday at 4 o'clock, a little after 4 o'clock. Of course, this is when we have Dr. Jan Mensing come in from the practice and talk to us about a subject. We have been doing a series on the gut biome, but before that, you looked a little bit down in the dumps when you first got here.
I'm concerned, Terry. There's a major problem coming up in society that people don't realize.
And that is?
We're going to have major depression among Democrats.
Can I give you a suggestion on what to treat him with?
Yes. I'm not sure what you're going to say.
I'll tell you off the air.
Okay. Is that bad?
I wouldn't want to start getting investigated by anybody. Merrick Garland may think that I'm a terrorist because I'm suggesting that. Anyway, hey, we've been talking about the gut biome, and you mentioned the other day about the gut biome and obesity. Can you catch us up to date on what they now know about the relationship there?
Okay, Terry, this is some of the newest stuff that's coming out, and from my point of view, 'cause I'm excited about it. All right, but here's the bottom line: they realized it became evident that the higher north you are, the more obesity there is, all right? Mm-hmm, in fact, there's now people that believe...
And less D3 that you have, too.
And less vitamin D3, all right?
Right.
And there's now people that are publishing and believe that it looks like this is where the research... We haven't proven this for sure, all right? But this is where it looks like the research is going. But bottom line, your ancestry may be a large part of how your gut biome is configured, all right?
Right.
And here's the bottom line, is that the farther north you go, all right, the colder it is, the more fat and the more brown fat you have. There's two kinds of fat, white fat and brown fat, brown fat is essentially thermogenic, thermoregulatory fat. But I don't want to go into there. It's quite complex.
Right,
but
right.
That's what has to do with how fat you are and how obese, all right?
Right.
Well, the farther north you go, the more fat you are, the more people are fat. All right.
Yeah.
And number two is that we now know that obesity is associated with at least three that we know of different bacteria in the gut. All right, in the gut.
Okay.
Biome. And if you have more of these, the more fatter you are. All right.
Let me guess. All of those respond very nicely to sugar.
Yes, they will. All right.
Because
yes,
people to the north, I mean, isn't that obesity, that extra fat, and insulation?
It is.
And wouldn't the gut biome be telling you we're not insulated enough, therefore you need to eat more sugar so we can produce more fat?
More sugars and fats all these things. But it looks like, all right, that the farther north you go, the more fatter you are, mm-hmm. right? The incidence, and the higher these incidence of these, I was going to say weird bacteria, that's not right, but these definite
overgrowth of
certain
common
things are more common. And we've also looked like, in fact, there was a Dr. Suzuki that published this out of Berkeley in the Biology Letter, that they looked at this, and it looks like this may be due to your gene selection for these gut biome issues, all right? And we know that your how you get your gut biome, we've mentioned this before.
Right.
If you're a baby, when you're born in a vaginal delivery, you essentially get mom's vaginal flora,
right?
Those bacteria and that mom's vagina, you essentially get them all over your skin and you inhale them, all right? Mm-hmm. And that's what sets up you getting mom's essentially gut biome, mom's vaginal biome, essentially inoculates you with your first biome because your gut is sterile when you come out of the birth canal. All right,
right, right.
And we've talked about all these issues about the newer ideas. There's three cases, place studies right now where they're taking babies who are born through C-section, there's a higher incidence of allergies. We've known this for years, all right, 20 years, but we didn't know why. But it looks like they're studying right now. They're taking a swab of mom's vagina, all right, mm-hmm. all these bacteria and things, and they're literally bathing the baby.
Painting the baby.
Painting and swabbing the baby's mouth with these bacteria, all right? And there's a lower incidence of allergies, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is early research, Terry. We don't really know for sure. This is not standard of care.
This is nothing more than connect the dots.
Yeah, but it looks like this is where we're going
right.
with this stuff.
Right.
All right, now, this is not, you know... I mean, if you want to do that if you're going to have a C-section, talk to your doc, your OBGYN. I mean, most would probably have never heard this. You know, I mean, this
right,
is
right.
early research stuff. We haven't nailed this down for sure. But that's where the research is going. We know that we have these three bacteria, and there may be more, mm-hmm. all right, that are associated with obesity. If you've got these, you're obese, all right?
Right.
All right. The second thing that's happening is that we're seeing this. The studies are showing that the same thing is happening in animals. Oh my gosh. All right.
So
it's not only an animal thing, it's also a human thing. And it may have been an ancestry thing of adaptive selection
mm-hmm.
to make people who are fatter survive better when it's 40 below outside. All right.
Okay. So you're talking about the idea of
the farther north you go, the higher the chance that you have these.
Isn't it really just the further you get away from the equator? Whether you go north
of
the
or equator, south,
or south, yeah,
or south.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I should.
Okay.
That's I'm talking. My perspective is North America.
Yeah, we're in North America, right?
And this has a little bit to do with D3 levels. Oh, mm-hmm. we've talked about that before. And mm-hmm. I was thinking, Terry, we may have in the next month. We may talk about D3 again. All right,
that'd be great.
And some of the newer things with D3. But the other thing that's been shown to come up. All right, we've known about the gut biome. The last 7 years, the research has been phenomenal about this stuff, but. We up until the last 6 months, a year, we've looked at the gut biome as the amount, you know, of how many bad ones do you have, how many good ones, this ratio of bad bacteria, bad fungi, bad yeast. You know, I say bacteria.
We do the same thing with cholesterol. And,
yeah,
and
but we've looked at the total amount.
Yeah.
It's looking like it may not be only the total amount, but what we call the diversity, the different kinds.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And this may be why antibiotics are so damaging to the gut biome. It yeah. may not. It
kills off some of the good ones and not enough of the bad ones.
Well, yes and no. Yes, okay. Yes, Terry. But more important, we're missing the point here. The antibiotics may kill off certain bacteria and fungi. Well, actually, bacteria more than fungi. Maybe will be exquisitely sensitive to a certain antibiotic, all mm-hmm. right, another one not so much. So, all right,
right,
all right. Well, that's if you give an antibiotic that's very good for killing off certain bacteria, it may wipe out a certain amount of your bacteria, and all of a sudden you have a lower diversity, a lower number of bacteria,
mm-hmm.
and we're finding out that it's not only the amount,
right,
but the types of bacteria and what that diversity is that has a lot to do with obesity.
Well, and that falls into the category of what a biome is.
Yeah,
I mean, it is something that is got some balance to it. And when you upset that balance, you never know. You know, you can upset it a little bit, but because you've upset it a little bit, the reaction from the biome is that it gets upset even more than what you anticipated.
Exactly, sir. There, you know, this is new stuff. You know, we're talking today about hot off the press stuff, you
right?
know? And essentially,
right.
most of what we're going to be talking today about the gut biome, we didn't know 3 or 4 years ago.
Okay, right? So what diseases are linked to the gut biome or the gut bacteria?
Well, the gut biome is gut bacteria, gut yeast, gut fungi. You know,
mm-hmm.
By the way, everybody blames Canada for everything. It's not only Canada, all right, although it's a major component of it. First of all,
well, you got coliforms in there too.
Oh, you got
and, I mean, you get a coliform into a sterile area, and it'll kill you.
Yeah, that's true. All right. First of all, these are all new things. As I say, in the last 4 years, is coming up. Number one, there's more and more evidence that colon cancer may be caused by gut biome issues. Who would have thought?
Right.
Do you follow?
Right.
And it may be that the gut biome. Has a lot to do with two issues. Number one, for suppressing certain genes that give you more chance of cancer. Number two, it may be that certain bugs, all right, pre-select for the polyps coming and doing mm-hmm. that. All right. Mm-hmm. Now we don't really know, Terry. All right.
But they're researching it at this point.
But it looks like there's more and more evidence that colon cancer may have to do with gut issues. Who would have thought? I mean, you told me that 20 years ago. I laugh at you.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
But this is where the research is going. All right. It's not settled yet. This is
well. But 20 years ago, when you didn't call it a gut biome, you just
dysbiosis.
The gut was a jungle, and the vagina was a zoo.
I've never heard that, but that's interesting.
John Bartlett said that in one of his. John Bartlett, he was from Tufts University, probably the most renowned infectious disease specialist in the nation when I was working for Upjohn. He said that one time.
Interesting. I've never heard that one. The other thing is there's more and more evidence, and this is even stronger, that ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease mm-hmm. are majorly tied to the gut biome. Now, we don't exactly know how, all right? We don't know what organisms cause it, all right? But there's major evidence coming out that ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease are related to the gut biome or affected by it. Right? Let's put it that way, all right? Now, here's the interesting thing. Ulcerative colitis, all right, that's an inflammation of the colon, all right?
Right, right.
If you have ulcerative colitis, bottom line, here's what we do with you. Bottom line, your risk of colon cancer is through the roof. After you've had 10 years of ulcerative colitis, the surgeons take your colon out because the risk is so high of getting colon cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
You wear a bag for the rest of your life.
Yeah, you wear a bag in your, you know, exactly. But here's what it looks like. We now know that colon cancer is due to the gut, is related to the gut biome.
Mm-hmm.
We know that that ulcerative colitis is related to it. And that relation, the problem with ulcerative colitis is colon cancer.
Right.
All of a sudden, it starts to click. Holder, maybe there's more to this than we thought.
Yeah. Maybe the answer is that as you take a physical on somebody, that part of that physical is actually getting an idea of what is going on in the gut biome, and
we're not
and
there.
And that would be a preventative way
yes.
of saying, well, we need to change your gut biome because if you go down the road that you're going on. Just like with cholesterol, if you go down the road you're going on, you're going to have a heart attack someday. And with the gut biome, you are going to possibly have colon cancer someday. And we'll take a break there and come back. When we come back, we're going to continue that. And I also want to talk about what the effect of exercise has on the gut biome. Well, because, that's certainly a link to obesity.
There's new things about exercise.
Perfect. Okay, we're going to be right back. This is the Terry Maxwell Show here on KNZR.
AM 1560 and FM 97.7 KNZR.
This is Can't You See That She's Mine by the Dave Clark Five on Shindig Wednesday. We're talking to Dr. Jan Mensink about the gut biome, and I asked the question about what diseases were linked to the gut bacteria, the gut biome. And we want to go through the list that you've got, but then after that, I do want to talk a little bit about the exercise, how exercise does affect the gut biome.
There's neat things coming out about that.
Yeah.
All right. Diabetes, obesity, autoimmune disease. All right. Rheumatoid arthritis, especially, is the most likely leak to gut biome and leaky gut syndrome. All right. Inflammation. More is coming out that the body in an inflammatory state is probably a gut biome issue. Now, that's not only it.
And the inflammatory state is what makes us grow old fast.
Yeah, and it makes us give joint pain and all these other crazy things.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And I'm thinking of doing... maybe I shouldn't. I guess it's okay to say this.
No.
But I'm thinking of doing a couple of shows on just about what we know about inflammation and the newer ideas about inflammation.
Great.
Right?
Great.
Because I think it would help a lot of people. Anxiety. All right. Depression and anxiety are clearly, this is well established. are due to gut.
You
myelitis.
Said that the serotonin levels
this is not a surprise. You know, this is well established.
Are really controlled by the gut biome.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Anxiety and depression issues are highly. This is not. You know, this is well established. All right. newer ideas. Okay, not as well established as depression and anxiety, but obsessive compulsive disorder may be related. There's evidence, more and more evidence in the last couple of years that autism may be related.
Sure.
All right. We don't know. This is early stuff. All right. Alzheimer's disease, there's more and more stuff coming out that it may be a major impact. All right. I don't believe it's the only cause of Alzheimer's disease, but maybe
they've been trying to figure out what it is you need to avoid to not get Alzheimer's.
All right. There's more and more evidence coming out that heart disease. All right. Oh, my gosh. All right. We have 655,000 cases of inflammatory heart disease last year. All right, that means the heart is inflamed. They have a myocarditis or a pericarditis. These are inflammatory conditions, and there's a lot of issues we've talked about COVID and those issues, but it. There's more and more evidence coming out, and we don't know this yet, but it may be that the gut biome may be predisposing these people who get myocarditis from the shots.
Right.
May be predisposing them because of the gut biome. Now, we don't know this. This is more speculation kind of thing, all right?
Right.
But there's a bunch of research about this in the last year that's saying, hold on, we need to look at more of this kind of stuff.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
And that's sort of cutting edge stuff kind of thing, Terry. Now, you asked me, what does
exercise
have to do?
Well, how much will exercise affect the gut biome in a positive or a negative way?
Okay. If you'd asked me a year ago, I'd say it doesn't make a darn bit of difference. All right?
Yeah.
But here's what we now know. This, to me, is amazing kind of thing. But we now know that exercise does not change the amount of bad and good bacteria. But listen carefully, it changes the diversity, the types of bacteria, and gives you a higher diversity. And we've mentioned earlier in this program, the higher your diversity of bacteria, the lower the risk of obesity.
Okay.
So exercise may be helping the gut biome with increasing diversity, which by increasing that diversity, increases or changes the diversity of gut biome, which lowers the risk of obesity. And the issue of exercise, in fact, I don't know if we have time, we can probably talk about obesity and dieting and what happens. But it may be the issue that exercise helps obesity because of, through this diversity, increasing the diversity of the gut biome. All right.
Well,
we don't know that for sure, Terry. This is early stuff kind of thing.
Well, but it's back to connect the dots, because when people go on diets and they exercise, when they go off the diet and they stop at exercising, it gets worse instead of better, and it would make sense in the fact that the gut biome is simply going back to at least where it was before, if not worse.
I don't know if we have, do you want to talk? Yeah. I don't know if we should go that way or
that'd be fine.
Okay. Let's talk about, diets, all right? There's so much new stuff coming out about diets, but by and large, the problem with diets, is that you diet and your body goes in this restrictive calorie mode.
Right.
And that's normal, all right? The body is supposed to do that, all right? So you're what we call a basic metabolic rate, but, whether this means that you've got, are you running a Ferrari at 18 miles per gallon versus are you becoming a Prius with 100 miles per gallon
or
a Tesla with 200 miles a gallon or whatever. All right, what dieting does is it changes the basic metabolic rate so that you use your calories more efficiently. The BMI changes, all right, and you start becoming more efficient at burning calories. And so essentially, you used to be an 18-mile-per-gallon car, and you'd start to diet, and you become a 100-mile-per-gallon car, all right? So when you stop dieting, Terry, what happens, you go back to your regular dietary, whatever you ate before.
Right.
And you gain it twice as fast back.
Yeah, because now you're going to be a 10-gallon.
Exactly. Now your body is being taught to use your these calories more efficiently because I wasn't getting it as much.
Mm-hmm.
And once you go back to eating regular diet, your BMI doesn't change. It's now set at, 18 miles or 10 miles per gallon car, and you're putting the same amount of calories in, and you just gain it twice as fast back.
Well,
that is the problem with dieting.
Yeah, this article that I was looking at today said that if you lose weight, you lose body fat, which is a major source of insulation, but you also lose lean body mass. And by losing that lean body mass, that's very hard to build back up, especially if you're not exercising, because you have to exercise. The fat is the insulation, and the lean body mass is the furnace. In other words, that's the metabolism that you're talking about. Exactly. So once you have reduced both of those and your body's running a little bit better, when you start increasing the amount of fat, your lean body mass does not increase the same way. Therefore, that's the reason people end up with an even worse shape after dieting.
That's one of the advantages of fasting.
So it's a lifestyle change.
Yeah.
You shouldn't look at it as dieting. It's got to be a lifestyle change where you're getting more exercise and eating differently.
I've said this to my patients probably thousands of times.
Mm-hmm.
Dieting doesn't lose weight. Lifestyle change loses weight.
Right.
And number two, especially that one of the reasons I'm such a fan of fasting, we've talked about the 3-day fasting, all right? And if you're going to do it, you talk to your doctor ahead of time so don't get in trouble. But what does 3-day fasting do? After you fast 3 days in a row every month, literally it changes your gut biome.
Right.
Number two, it gets rid of all the bad bacteria, many of the bad bacteria without you trying, all
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Number three is that it changes your basic metabolic rate.
Yeah.
So you set your
lean set body mass.
Yeah, your set point that you don't have to worry about,
breaking your habit every once in a while.
Every once in a while. It's your birthday. Oh, I can't have a piece of cake or anything. Doesn't matter. Because
mm-hmm.
that body metabolism has been set. That BMI is set where it's supposed to be by fasting 3 days every month. For 6 months.
Well, I have said that I can be awful during the weekend, but I know that I am going to be fasting every Monday. I do a 24 hour fast, and then once a month I do the 3-day. But even with the 1-day, I still feel like by the time I get home on Monday night and have fasted for 24 hours, I really feel like my metabolism is already kind of kicked back into, okay, I'm back into the right mode, ready to go.
Yeah, no, Terry, there's amazing stuff coming out about this. Amazing stuff.
That is. Let's go ahead and take a break. When we come back, let's talk a little bit about something that you have talked about before, and that is if there isn't anything else that works, you can do stool implants.
You want to talk about that in the air?
Sure, why not?
Okay. All right.
It's part of the discussion. I mean, people want to know.
Yeah.
Okay, so what happens if I've been doing everything you said and I'm still not getting any results?
Okay, all right. Sure.
Maybe that's the way I should have presented it. Okay,
really
Dr. Mensing, I'm doing everything you told me to do, but I'm not getting any results. What do you think?
Okay, well, that's really called fecal stool implants. That's the right word for it.
Oh, okay.
Well, sure, we'll talk about that.
What did I call it?
Something else.
We'll be right back.
There's only one on AM 1560 and FM 97.7, KNZR.
Johnny is a joker.
He's a bird.
A very funny joker.
He's a bird.
But when he jokes my honey,
he's a dog.
His joking ain't so funny.
What a dog.
Johnny is a joker that's a trying to steal my baby.
He's a bird dog.
Johnny sings a love song.
I wonder if you can take him out hunting with you then, if he's a bird dog. Johnny, see if there's a bird in those bushes over there, would you? I thought you were a bird dog, Johnny. What the hell's wrong with you? Okay, everybody, that's the Everly Brothers, in case you didn't know. Had some great songs. Loved the Everly Brothers. I had a cousin who lived with us for a little while, and he was a huge fan of the Everly Brothers, and who was it that was killed in the plane crash? Dang it, I can't remember. You know, it's American Pie. Who's that? What song was that about?
It wasn't Ricky Valens?
No, 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 not Ricky Valens. It's Buddy Holly. Buddy Holly. He loved Buddy Holly, and he loved the. I'd never heard of either one of them before. He came and lived with us, and became a big fan of Everly Brothers and Buddy Holly. My sister's response to him playing these songs all the time was, he should get into the, well, he should get into the mid '60s. You know, one of them is dead, and the other two don't even have a career anymore. My sisters could be really cruel, you know that. Anyway, hey, let's get back to our conversation with Dr. Mensing. We were going to cover what would be the extreme that a doctor might do in order to help somebody's gut biome when they have tried everything else.
Let me tell you, I'm trying to think of, I think I can tell a story without divulging information.
Okay.
But I had a younger fella in his, I think, under 20, all right? Who, make a long story short, had terrible gut issues and gut biome issues,
mm-hmm.
and destroyed his life. I'm not proud to say that, but, you know, was a basket case. Anyhow, and he came out here. He came from, I think, back Oklahoma, if I remember right. But anyhow, he moved out back with his dad here, who's ill. And make a long story short, we tried everything, and nothing worked. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing worked. I'm a
very big challenge. For once, that wasn't me.
I'm sorry.
Oh, that's all right.
That's my fault. Anyhow, make a long story short, what happened is that we couldn't win. All right.
So
there's something called fecal stool transplants. All right. What does that mean? The doctor does a colonoscopy, makes sure there's no masses, nothing like that. He cleans you out, your stool out of your colon, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he takes stool from somebody else, another patient, another person who has a healthy gut biome, and he puts in a blender, all right? He chews it all up, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And makes a slush. A slush or mush. I'm not sure the technical term to correctly say it, but
and just like that, baby paints it all over the colon.
Well, you essentially give him an enema of this stuff.
Oh, okay.
All right, and you're inserting somebody else's bacteria, gut bacteria. You've cleaned their gut out,
right?
And you're inserting another patient with normal gut biome, their bacteria into that colon,
right?
And
hopefully they will that will repopulate
and change the gut biome. That's literally what we're talking about. Okay?
How effective is it? I mean,
First of all, doctors don't want. I think there's only one doctor in town, one GI doctor that does it in town now. They don't know about it, but it's not a things they want to do. And I'll be very honest with you: if you do it, you know your office stinks like SH something. All right.
Yeah.
And it's not a fun thing to do.
Like a sewer, only worse.
All right, but here's the deal. Finally, he went back to I think it was Oklahoma, or was it Arkansas? But anyhow, immaterial. He went and saw a GI doctor there, and we talked to him on the phone, and he did it. And within 3 days, he was cured.
Wow!
And he had years of trouble. All right. So rarely these steps like this have to be done. All right, rare, Terry. This is probably one case in 5 years kind of thing. This is rare that we have to do that. But that's
usually the other techniques that you can use work
cases
pretty well.
They don't work,
yeah,
Terry. Whether we like it or not, they don't work.
Yeah.
All right. And so this is these are situations that doctors don't want to do. I will be honest with you. They don't. GI doctors don't want to do it. We only have one, and I think he actually is retired now. That did this, all right. But it can work in selected patients. It's like magic, all right.
That's interesting.
Yeah,
but
it's this is rare stuff. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
All right, and I don't think it's done not because of the we know it works. And all right, that's not the issue. It's just that it's not something you want to do in your office.
Is there some general foods that you think people should avoid in order to, I mean, not necessarily being on a diet, say somebody's fairly healthy, but Terry, they're concerned about it. Okay, are there certain things they should avoid?
Sure. Here's what we tell our patients. Stop all sugars, sodas, artificial sweeteners, high fructose corn syrup, and then we have a list, actually a page that we copied from the Wall Street Journal of all the hidden sugars.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And once you look at this list, you'll go, oh my gosh, it's in everything. I mean, you start looking at labels and you go, you won't have any clue all the hidden sugars. There are these funny names that you don't even know what.
Right.
But stop all sugars, all right? Number one, stop all sugars. And sodas, artificial sweeteners, all right?
Right.
And high fructose corn syrup and all these hidden sugars. We recommend these to eat more of a paleo diet, less breads and pastas. Because
okay.
I want you to think, Terry, those breads and pastas get broken down into starches and into sugars.
Right.
All right?
Right.
All right? More a paleo diet, fruits and vegetables and meats, especially fish. All right? It's good. The next thing that's come out probably in the last 6 months that we're telling our patients now, but there's just a whole bunch of research coming out, Terry, and make a long story short, fermented foods are good. Sauerkraut, kimchi, kombucha, fermented cottage cheese, kefir, things like that.
Okay.
The newest research, this is last 6 months, all right, that this has come out, but are probably just as effective. There have some studies that think it may be more effective than the sugar, extreme sugar loss. What's the only sugar that is good for the gut biome?
Honey. Raw honey.
Raw honey.
Right.
All right.
Very good. Very good. Okay, everybody, we've got to take our last break. We'll be right back. This is the Terry Maxwell Show here on KNZR.
KNZR.com. KNZR on Twitter. KNZR on Facebook. And KNZR on your radio. At AM 1560 and FM 97.7. KNZR.
Aretha Franklin, no one better. You know, he played Whitney Houston recently. And you think about Aretha Franklin, Whitney Houston, two of the greatest voices ever, modern voices. I mean, we can go back further than that. You know, I think that during the jazz era, there were some pretty spectacular people, too. First woman of soul, Aretha Franklin.
What about Barbara Streisand?
Okay, now you've mentioned her name. And we have now been vaccinated against not only one of her songs and all of her songs, now we've been vaccinated against her name. So we don't have to mention that name again for another year so that I can have my vaccination against. Anyway. I used to really like Dewan. okay, I got Brian Colbert coming up next. There's a lot of things happening. I mean, a lot of moving parts right now, everybody. A lot of moving parts. So stick with us. I'm sure Brian will have a few words to say about yesterday's results in the election, as well as the mortgage industry.